This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. Thank you for staying locked with us. Now, the King is going to be meeting with the head honchos. What's going on?
Yes, according to news reports yesterday, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong will be meeting with party leaders from both sides of the political divide as early as today to discuss growing concerns over the stability of the Perikatan National Government. Now, unconfirmed sources across local media channels have reported that PKR President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim will be heading to the palace this morning, Bersatu President Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin will be meeting the Agong tomorrow, Pejuang's Dr. Mahathir Mohamad will be granted an audience this Thursday, i.e. tomorrow. An invitation was also extended to past President Dato' Sri Abdul Hadi Awang, although a date wasn't disclosed.
Now, separately, Dewan Negara President Rais Yatim said a special committee is looking into implementing a hybrid parliamentary sitting and will be analysing how this can be carried out without violating the current COVID-19 SOPs after a year.
Of course. So joining us in our roundup of politics this morning is Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, a research fellow at the Alam Centre. Dr. Hamidin, thank you again for joining us. Now, what do you make of the reported decision by the King to meet with party leaders and then the rulers next week?
Thank you, guys. Morning, guys. I think it is a very great decision by Yang Di-Pertuan Agong to meet all the leaders. And I think really have to consultation with them about the political situation, especially on the running of the parliament. I think most of the discussion, I assume, is going to be about that, about the political stability of the country, especially vis-a-vis with the pandemic that we are facing now, and also about the parliament. I think concern of the palace is about if the parliament's start, can he have a certainty from the members of the parliament, from the party, that discussion is about COVID, not about topping of the government, because that will lead to the election which nobody won.
Are you surprised who was and was not included into the invite? Because we know Bersatu, Pejuang, PAS, PKR, they were all on the list to meet the King, but UMNO, DAP were not, and neither were the leaders from Sabah and Sarawak.
So far, I'm not surprised with that, because I think the list, is, in my point of view, is a moving one. It is ongoing. I expect that everyone will be called by Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, because normally that's what we did. I think normally the palace will consult definitely every political leaders when it comes to that. I think what's need now is very much an agreement among the political party that the country come first through the parliaments if the parliaments convenes during the emergency.
So at the end of the day, what is the likelihood of the current state of emergency to end and for parliament to resume then?
Don't expect too much, guy. I think the state of emergency will continue, and I do expect that because of the current situation of the COVID, government will definitely use COVID as a reason to continue the emergency. But I do expect Parliament will convene soon, and most important thing in my point of view is that Parliament must convene. Doesn't matter what, and this is I think what's led to the calling by Yang Di-Pertuan Agong.
Yeah, Doc, well, that impasse, of course, as you say, might be likely. That is also surprising, because in the wake of the emergency declaration and, of course, Parliament not convening, the numbers have actually gone through the roof and skyrocketed. It's become worse rather than better under the emergency. Don't you think the leaders and the King should be cognizant of that fact?
Yes, I think that's partly of the reason, in my point of view, the failure. It is a failure of the Perikatan National Government to contain and to improve the situation in regard to COVID, despite the advantages of the emergency being declared. If you notice that nothing much has been done using the emergency ordinance actually to improve the situation in regard to COVID. So obviously it is a political one, and I think now we try to, in my point of view, that we must find a good way to really stabilize the country back in terms of the politics. Yes, you can see since the COVID and then emergency declaration, not many discussions about politics being around. Even though we know that things are not going well in all sectors, in all parties in the country, but I do expect that Parliament should be convinced to really iron out many things which seems unresolved by the current government, especially in regard to the COVID.
So you mentioned stability. Is that stability going to come from perhaps a hybrid parliament sitting like what they do in UK and Australia? Do you think this will get the buy-in from all MPs from both sides of the House?
Yes, I think so. I think the most important now, in my point of view, is for Parliament to convene. And obviously, in any effort and any form, like the hybrid or anyway, I think they will be get support from the both party, especially from the opposition. I think what really for the government, I think what they really want to have is very much a certainty. A promise by the opposition that is not about topping of the government, a word of no confidence to Muhyiddin Yassin, in my point of view. If they can have that certainty, I think obviously they will agree to any form of for the parliament to convince. Yeah.
Yeah, Doc, shouldn't that confidence or no confidence motion be material to the decision of whether to allow hybrid parliament meetings? Because at the end of the day, the whole world has been involved in virtual meetings, the technology exists. It's just whether the substance, the spirits of why these meetings are not taking place, that's not being addressed.
Yeah, definitely. That's what for most of us, in my point of view, is that I think I always speak that for members of the parliament, especially most of the political party, in my point of view, they must show some sincerity and maturity in regard to this. I think this is where the time when, in my point of view, the party must really show that the country come first. About the people, about the health of the people, the security of the people, does matter to them rather than their own political ambitions. So this is where, in my point of view, the parliament should convene in any form. And I don't think we need that kind of black and white that no topping of the government should happen. But I think it's just a matter of understanding. That is the most important thing. Even in my point of view, in the right mind of the opposition itself, they don't want to have election now. If, for example, the vote of no confidence succeed in the parliament, because see what's happened after Sabah and during the current situation, I don't think election is the solution for us.
Well, taking on a cue from Sabah and the lessons from that, in Sarawak, the Election Commission has announced a delay in the state election given the current emergency in order. And I believe a new date is only going to be announced after there's some consultation with the Yang Di-Pertuan Negeri. What's your implication of this with respect to state governance in Sarawak then?
Yeah, I think it's continuous as well. I think under the constitution, it is interesting. I think one of the good questions, because actually the constitution is about state constitution and also federal constitution is silence on that. What happened if because of the emergency, who is going to run the state? Obviously, under the current constitution and current norm. Is the current government who will do the running as an interim government. But I think is already, Jan Lutan Agong has already agreed, I think, advised the state leader that they can continue to run and to postpone the election until the COVID situation is okay in the country.
Now, talking about elections, but on a party level, I mean, UMNO is hoping to hold their party elections this month. But the NSC has blocked their application. Now, how do you think this will affect relations among members within the party? Because you can almost see factions developing.
Yeah, you're right, Shawnee. I think this is one of the most interesting areas as a political analyst to look at what happened to UMNO, especially in the post-General Assembly last month. So, in my point of view, definitely the delay of the election will give more problem to UMNO. Especially, I think the fraction in UMNO is getting clearer and clearer. Mm-hmm. And UMNO obviously facing a big leadership issues. I think the challenge to Zahid Hamidi is growing by day, my point of view. So definitely election is needed. And the delay of that will suffer not only UMNO, but I think instability of the Perikatan Nasional and also what's going to happen to the fluidity of the coming election.
Okay, thank you as always, Doc. That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, the research fellow at the Ilam Centre. Then, of course, if there's one message to be gleaned from our discussion with him, is that the country must come first above political ambitions.
Now, this is already reflected, actually, in a Fitch Solutions Country Risk and Industry Research Report, which came out yesterday. So they highlighted that the country's elevated political risk has become worse due to the perception that the government has failed to contain the outbreak so far. And this will negatively impact policymaking, policy continuity, and social stability. So they see a worsening of political risk, actually.
Which comes to the point about this whole talk of hybrid parliament. As you said, it's all sound but no substance.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Because if you do not give the parliament power to enact and make necessary changes and just convene for the sake of convening through digital or non-digital, it means nothing.
And there can be no policy certainty or otherwise. Okay, 7:59, we'll come back after this with the news. And of course, beyond that, Roshan Kanisen speaks to Jan Eckhout on the profit paradox. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.